Classical Music in Color. I'm Judilyn Gibson. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Classical Music in Color. Thank you for listening. On this, the June 2019 edition of Classical Music in Color, we're talking with Anthony Green. He's the co-founder of Castle of Our Skins. It's an African-American classical music and arts organization out of Boston. He and I talked about why it's so difficult to find any orchestra, major or otherwise, anywhere in the world that includes music from African-American and other classical composers of color in their seasons. That is, outside of those special months designated to celebrate those musicians. We'll tell you about one group search for student composers, two conductors of color are getting the big baton, and there's the item about that Hungarian production of Porgy and Bess. Yes, Hungarian and Porgy and Bess. I can't wait to tell you about that. We'll be right back.
Hi there, I'm Joshua Redman. One of the great things about music is how it brings people together. Kids like to hang out, listen to music, and talk about what's happening on the music scene. And playing instruments and singing provides a way for young people to get together and interact in a cooperative and respectful way. Kids who play in school ensembles understand that every part has to work together for the result to be the magical art we call music. Your local school music program provides a golden opportunity for a child to experience the rewards of learning music. Why not pay a visit to the music teacher to find out what's going on? Get your kids involved with school music.
A PSA brought to you by the National Association for Music Education.
Here are the latest items and notices in the not-so-small world of classical musicians of color. There are new conductor appointments to tell you about. Jonathan Hayward from Charleston, South Carolina, has been named the next chief conductor of Nordwestdeutsche Philharmonie, or the Northwest German Philharmonic. The 28-year-old will be very busy until he takes the appointment in January of 2021. He just finished conducting the Seattle Symphony Orchestra, and this summer will tour Belgium with the Flanders Symphony Orchestra. Next year, Jonathan Hayward returns to his hometown for the Spoleto Festival. Another African-American conductor from the Charleston area has landed a new job. He's Joseph Young, who's leading the Berklee Symphony Orchestra starting this fall. He endeared himself to the orchestra when he substituted for a substitute with 48 hours' notice. We suspect he'll be moving to Berklee very soon after touring with the National Youth Orchestra this summer as resident conductor and being the Ruth Blaustein Rosenberg Artistic Director of Ensembles at the Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore. This next item happened a couple of months ago, but it's still worth mentioning. Soprano Leontine Price in 1966, singing Cleopatra in the Metropolitan Opera's production of Samuel Barber's opera, Anthony and Cleopatra. In April this year, she was presented with the Lifetime Achievement Award at the 2019 International Opera Awards in London. She was honored for her successful international career, including breaking color barriers. In 1955, she became the first African-American to sing a leading role in a televised opera in NBC's live production of Tosca. She was also very active during the civil rights movement. Price is now 92 years old. The Grammy-nominated quintet Imani Wins has been given the honor of winning the Richard S. Weiner Award for Innovation in Classical Music. It came from the Concert Artist Guild out of New York. They are the first winners. They get $5,000 to help them create a composition for wind quintet and steel pans with composer Andy Akiho. The piece is designed for performances not only on the concert stage, but also outside detention centers. And now, the inexplicable. The U.S. government's new extreme vetting policy prevented a performer from attending the Kronos Festival in San Francisco on June 1st. Owakasi Mariji Abate from Mali is a griot who has performed in the States many times before. She was to perform a composition inspired by the endangered hand-clapping song traditions of Malian girls and created for the Kronos Project, 50 for the Future. She had to cancel because the Department of State did not issue her required P3 visa in a timely fashion. And then there's the Hungarian State Opera. Maybe you heard about this. After they were denied permission by the Gershwin estate to perform Porgy and Bess with white actors, the Hungarian opera's general director found what he thought was a way around it. The cast was asked to sign a declaration stating that African-American origins and spirit form an inseparable part of their identity. At least half the group signed. History tells us that after the premiere of Porgy and Bess in 1935, Gershwin would turn down companies that wanted to perform the opera in blackface. At least the Hungarians didn't do that, did they? Coming up, a new and maybe not so permanent feature of the show, showcasing the work of classical musicians of color.
Classical Music in Color is a production of the Second Street Dreams Audio Network. There's more to hear on the network at secondstreetdreams.com. Staccato and Feeding Thespis on secondstreetdreams.com. Now back to Classical Music in Color.
As a way to deepen the meaning and function of classical music in color, I'd like to showcase the work of classical composers of color. I've invited them to send me links to their music. So far, only one has responded. That is Rick Robinson. And this is his composition, Highland Park, Michigan, City of Trees. Park, Michigan, City of Trees. Rick Robinson, a double bass player, started his own music company, Mr. Cut Time, while he was still working for the Detroit Symphony. After 20 years with them, he went out on his own.
I started Cut Time in 1994 as a member of Detroit Symphony Orchestra to share some of the symphonic hits that we play in places where orchestras can't fit, including schools and churches and music festivals initially. And then when I started smaller and smaller groups, eventually in the bars and clubs and homes and things like that.
Was it more difficult for you, being African-American, to get into the community and do your own thing in the community to introduce people to classical music?
I have met some resistance to bringing classical music as an African-American into black communities and to young white communities, just anywhere. People have these expectations of what a black man is supposed to do or not supposed to do. And here I'm doing something as weird as this. So, I get a few askance glances, but on the whole, it's been very positive and I'm unstoppable in my passion. And people can feel that and they pick up on that and connect with that instead. So once we get over the hump, you know, it's like a no-brainer. Everybody deserves beauty and beautiful music.
There's a link to Rick Robinson's Mr. Cut Time on the Classical Music in Color page at secondstreetdreams.com. If you'd like to have your composition featured on Classical Music in Color, send an email to contact@secondstreetdreams.com. So, why isn't there more music by classical composers of color in the upcoming orchestral seasons? Anthony Green of Castle of Our Skins has the answer, and maybe the solution. That's coming up next.
Imagine a world full of life, color, and individuality. A world where you can absorb yourself in your own thoughts and reveal your soul to the world. Where you are free to feel unexplainable emotions and relive amazing masterpieces
to express yourself
and find the courage to surrender to music.
Our guest for this June 2019 edition of Classical Music in Color is...
My name is Anthony R. Green, and I am a composer, performer, social justice artist, and I am the Associate Artistic Director of Castle of Our Skin.
You could describe Anthony Green as an angry black man when it comes to raising awareness and respect for black classical composers and others of color. He disputes that, kind of.
I'm just frustrated because I travel a lot to concerts. I right now live in the Netherlands, so it's very common for me to go to events in the Netherlands, France, the UK, and of course I'm in the United States often for concerts. So in all of these places, I am usually the only black person with pieces on the program. Or I'm going to these concerts and I don't hear music by black composers. And not only black composers from the United States, but African composers, black composers from the UK, from the Caribbean, from Canada, etc. We exist as a people, as a working people. And I don't hear this music ever unless it's either one of my pieces being programmed or it's a Castle of Our Skins event. So I'm just asking myself, what is going on? Why? And I remember once I did this workshop in Cyprus, and I asked all of the people there, who besides me do you know is a black composer who's working? They couldn't answer anything. And then I just said, can you just name any black composer besides me, dead or alive, you know? There wasn't even a Scott Joplin, a William Grant Still, none of it. Just people don't know about our music and about our existence. And I'm not accusing everybody of this, but I think there is this subconscious desire to keep new music and to keep classical music white, right? And that's what's frustrating me. Because there's conversation all the time, article upon article, committee after committee, database upon database. But at the end of the day, all ensembles have to do is program music by black people and reach out to black people and talk to black people. It's really not that hard of a thing. But somehow, even though there are articles, databases, committees, discussions, people getting mad, there's still a lack of programming. Talking about programming music by black people. So just program the music.
Do we do it to ourselves? I've asked several Caucasian conductors of small orchestras why they don't program music by African Americans, Native Americans, or Hispanics, anyone but the dead white guys, and I'm often told that when they do get the nudge, they can't get a timely response from the rights holders.
I have to agree, yes. There is this big issue with the people that have rights to composers' music, especially College Taylor Perkinson. I know Capitol Ruskin's has had issues with getting College Taylor Perkinson scores in a timely manner, as well as Florence Price. And Florence Price now is even more complicated because Shermer just got the rights to Florence Price's music. But yes, score accrual for music from Black composers who have passed away is quite a big issue. With that said, though, I'm not sure if the person who you spoke to tried to obtain music from, let's say, Adolphus Hale Storck or Julius Williams or Jonathan Bailey Holland, who are living composers who all have quote-unquote accessible music that has been performed already by beloved orchestras. Also George Walker, who just passed away. It's quite easy to get his scores. So he may have tried with Florence Price, with a Margaret Bonds, and maybe with another composer, but three composers out of the canon of Black composers that exist is quite pitiful, if you ask me.
So how do we get these composers on the season schedule, just like they would for Mozart or Samuel Barber, for instance?
Unfortunately, getting the composers on the schedule, it's a catch-22, right? Because there's this whole myth of, if I program this piece by Black composer X, then nobody will come. And so, well, why don't people come? It's because the pieces aren't beloved. So really the issue is, how do we get these composers and their music beloved? Because until that happens, then orchestras and ensembles will start programming them more, because their incentive is audience and money. No matter how much they talk about the romance behind this is beautiful music, this is solid music, they program Beethoven because they know people will pay for Beethoven tickets. Let's just put that out on the table. It's all about money. It's all about profit. So we need to start by having this music studied in conservatories, having this music be important academically. Then students who go off and graduate will form ensembles and start playing this music. Students will also teach their students about this music. We should have young students play some of the children's pieces by Florence Price, which are accessible. I'm pretty sure other Black composers have children's pieces that can be studied. I know Rachel Barton Pine.
A side note here, violinist Rachel Barton Pine is getting a lot of attention for her Music by Black Composers project. 20 years ago, she recorded an album of violin concertos by African-American composers on CD Records. The follow-up to that is a selection of solo and piano-accompanied music for violin from 20th and 21st century African-American composers like William Grant Still and Coleridge Taylor Perkinson and Dolores White. Now back to Anthony Green.
Unfortunately, to have Black composers be in a regular season, it's not going to happen in a year. We're talking about 10, 15 years. But between now and the 15-year mark, we need to be doing more of what Rachel Barton Pine is doing, teaching young people about this music, so that when they enter a conservatory and their teacher is saying, well, let's play Mozart, then that student can say, can we also hear Chevalier de Saint-Georges? I grew up playing his music as a child, and I know that he knew Mozart, and I knew that he commissioned Haydn, so why isn't he included in the canon? You know, unfortunately, it's going to take students demanding that these composers be included in the canon, because not enough teachers are including these composers in the canon.
And it's because some of those teachers, as good as they are, don't even know these classical musicians of color exist.
Yep. There's that, A, and B, all of the beloved music history books that we get forced upon in conservatory, one of them is by Poliska, another one is by Grout. They don't have these names in their music history books. And then you combine that with all of these festivals. Let's talk about festivals of quote-unquote American music, right? You'd be hard-pressed to find a Black composer from the United States in any of these festivals.
So it's an education thing.
Yeah, it's education. audience, and it's that process of being a beloved part of a canon. There's no arguing that Florence Price and Margaret Bonds and their music isn't a part of the canon. Everyone knows that it is a part of the canon. It's just that it's not beloved enough.
There is some light peeking through this issue, and as you said, it's starting with young people.
So I recently completed a McKnight Visiting Composer Fellowship at South High School in Minneapolis. And before I started my fellowship, the band teacher there, Eric Sayer, got a grant to purchase wind ensemble music by Black composers. So before I even set foot in that school, he sent me an email and said, I just ordered all of this music by Black composers. And I said, this is great. You should also order music from Kevin Day and all of these other composers that I recommended. And he said, great. So now he has this repertoire of music by Black composers for wind ensemble. And then I completed my month-long teaching project there, and I taught 8 ensembles that I worked with about the history of Black composers, played for them their music, told them about their lives and stories and how they were affected by racism, and then together we all composed pieces collaboratively that were performed in November. So there is this school in Minneapolis, South High School, that has had this experience of working with a Black composer in real life, learning about Black composers from a Black composer, and having a faculty that's super, super supportive. And all of this was backed by McKnight and the American Composers Forum.
In the school and the professional orchestra setting, racism is likely to come up. Do these teachers and conductors just not want to go there?
That is a major issue, and I think that also plays a really big role into why orchestras don't program music by women, because of the issues of misogyny and patriarchy in classical music, as well as why professional ensembles don't perform composers of color because of racism. People don't want to admit their faults, right? When a conductor or a programming committee is making these decisions and they keep on programming Beethoven and Brahms, they don't want to say, well, I'm a victim of institutionalized misogyny and I'm a victim of institutionalized racism. They don't want to say that. So they make excuses. They say, well, this is really, really good music. This is great music. This is the music that has survived the test of time. So we all know that Ignatius Sancho's music could have survived the test of time if he weren't Black.
Right.
And Blind Tom's music could have survived the test of time if he weren't enslaved and considered property, you know. But in a weird way, this music actually has survived the test of time. And it's people like you and it's people like me that are screaming to hell and high water that this is great music that deserves to be played. And I think one day these composers will finally get the performances that they've been due, and not just in February.
Anthony Green, composer, performance artist, and a social justice campaigner, was trained at the New England Conservatory of Music. He is walking his talk with co-founder Ashley Gordon of the Boston-based Castle of Our Skins. It's a concert and educational organization dedicated to celebrating Black artistry through music. In the months ahead, he has performances of his music celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. Those performances are scheduled in Denver and in London. There are links on SecondStreetDreams.com. Coming up, workshops, competitions, and something called Jazzical.
Hey, Coach, I want to talk to you about something.
About your little man's jump shot?
He's on the court every day after school. But I wanted to talk to you about something else. After practice yesterday, my son asked me if I was going to vote.
We had some time after running drills, and I talked to the boys about why it's so important to vote.
I just never thought my kid would be schooling me on why I needed to vote.
This message brought to you by the National Coalition on Black Civic Participation and the National Association of Black-Owned Broadcasters.
Opera composers. Opera America is waiting for your application for its IDEA Opera Grants. The most important thing, Previous experience is not required. What is required is that applicants identify as either African, Latinx, Asian, Arab, and/or Native American. You must be able to compose theatrical works for the voice and instrumental ensemble. There is an intent to apply deadline of July 29th. College students in Northeast Ohio should send their scores. The Cleveland Uncommon Sound Project is selecting 3 student composers in their call for scores. Applications are due September 1st. After you apply, maybe you'll have the time or the inclination to attend some events near you. Later this month, on June 23rd, Classical IPR and Horizon Books are co-hosting another classical music open mic event. If you want to perform, you'll need to get in touch with them to tell them you're coming. It's in Traverse City, Michigan. There's a world premiere reading of hip opera from Jazzical. This is Joy Jan Jones singing L.A. Mother's Aria. It combines the best of jazz and classical music. The reading is June 29th in Darien, Connecticut. This summer is teeming with operas about the Black experience. The Long Beach Opera is performing 5 right now in California. As you most likely know, it's about the 5 Black and brown young men who were charged, jailed, and later exonerated in the beating and rape of a jogger in Central Park in 1989. The opera runs through June 23rd. Fire Shut Up My Bones is a new opera by the jazz trumpeter and film composer Terrence Blanchard. It's based on the memoir by New York Times op-ed columnist Charles M. Blow. It's at Opera Theater of St. Louis until June 29th. In July, the Glimmerglass Festival in Cooperstown, New York, premieres the opera Blue. It's by composer Janine Tesori about an African-American family whose son is killed by a police officer. It opens July 14th. Over in England, Sekou Kane Mason, the cellist who played at the royal wedding of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, he's performing with the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra on August 22nd. There are links to all on the Classical Music and Color page at SecondStreetDreams.com. A special program note right after this.
Hi there, I'm Joshua Redman. One of the great things about music is how it brings people together. Kids like to hang out, listen to music, and talk about what's happening on the music scene. And playing instruments and singing provides a way for young people to get together and interact in a cooperative and respectful way. Kids who play in school ensembles understand that every part has to work together for the result to be the magical art we call music. Your local school music program provides a golden opportunity for a child to experience the rewards of learning music. Why not pay a visit to the music teacher to find out what's going on? Get your kids involved with school music.
A PSA brought to you by the National Association for Music Education.
I'd like to thank our guest, Anthony Green of Castle of Our Skins, and our featured composer, Rick Robinson of Detroit. Once again, if you'd like to have your composition featured on Classical Music in Color, send an email to contact@secondstreetdreams.com. A program note, there won't be another new show until September. Because of my other work and duties, new editions of Classical Music in Color will be posted every other month from now on. I'm Jutland Gibson on the Second Street Dreams Audio Network on SecondStreetDreams.com. Thank you for listening to Classical Music in Color.